outside day. She rolled her window down, looked at me sideways. So I just smiled back, and then she smiled back. She said, you made my day. I asked her, how's that? She said she ain't had much to even smile at. I told her I ain't tryna see that frown back. Smooth operator, she like the sound of that.
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I am broadcasting live. Let me stop this music and put on some appropriate music. I'm broadcasting live from Malaysia. I'm live in Malaysia right now. Let me put on some Asian music right now to get in that Asian vibe right now. I'm in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia right now. And I'm glad to have everybody tuning in. My days have been kind of off. I didn't do the show last week because I was traveling. But I'm here. We're chopping up game today, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show is brought to you by MacLessons.com. That's where you can go to get all your macking needs, all the pay-per-view specials. You can get the books there. It gives you the link to Amazon to get all my books, The Art of Macking, The Mac Within, Player Be Played, The Art of Gold Digging, The Elite Way, all of my wonderful books. You can get them at Amazon, or you can just go to MacLessons.com. And today's show is brought to you by HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get the film Hidden Colors. And today's show is brought to you by a new book called Step Your Game Up. You can get it at StepYourGameUpBook.com. Now, fellas, if you're tired of feeling like a lame or purebred simp, is your wardrobe whack? Is your game lame? Well, we got a solution. Order the ebook. It is an ebook called Step Your Game Up today. The book is packed with advice to make you feel like a winner in life, from finances to fashion, from diet to exercise, from dating and macking. This book has it all. You need to step your game up. It's over 230 pages of hard-hitting game written by Chicago dating coach Dennis Jean-Pierre and his homie Tito Fresh. So you can order the book from my homies right now at StepYourGameUpBook.com. Ladies and gentlemen. Now, later on in the show, I know a lot of people have been hitting me up talking about the Trayvon Martin situation. I'm going to talk about that later on in the show, so don't worry about that. We will get into that. Now, let me put on some Mackin music so I can really slow it down and break it down for all my players and playettes out there listening. Let me get a real Mackish real quick. Sorry about that, y'all. There we go. That's a little better. Let me get it real Mac-ish. But like I said, man, right now I'm in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. I've been traveling to a couple of different countries in Asia. I was in Thailand the other day. And I was in Tamar Negara in the middle of Malaysia. I did some filming for Hidden Colors 2, which will be out later on this year. And tomorrow I will be in Bali, Indonesia, and I'm going to do a live Ustream show tomorrow, which is Wednesday. And now my days are off, but I know tomorrow in the United States it'll be Wednesday, because actually over here it's Wednesday now, and I think it's Tuesday in the United States, so my whole shit is off. But I know it'll be Wednesday when I do the Ustream show, and when it's morning here, it's like late afternoon there, so the time difference is a trip. So that's why I didn't do the Ustream show this Sunday. A lot of people wanted me to do the Ustream show this Sunday, but I was traveling. So again, I was doing some filming for Hidden Colors 2. I was in a tribe with these people called the Batek people, and they are some of the oldest living people in Asia. They're the original people of Asia, and they're going to be featured in Hidden Colors. I'm going to show some quick clips of them, because of these people, a lot of folks just don't know about them, man. People don't know that they're just straight up black tribes in certain spots all around Asia that you just never hear about. The Discovery Channel and the History Channel, they never do anything on them. They never feature them. So it's like that little hidden secret. You know, the people over here, they're aware of them, but it's some real deep shit, man. So that's why, man, we got to get that knowledge popping with Hidden Colors 2, and it's going to pop off. I'm making it nice and crisp, and don't forget to get Hidden Colors 1. And it's a beautiful experience I had meeting these people, man. These people, the Batek people, they had a very good, positive vibe to them, man. Very good people. And these people look like black folks, you know, back home. And it's very difficult to get to them. This is why they remain with their original physiology. You know, they to get to these people, you got to take a plane ride, then you got to take a 5-hour drive, then you got to take a boat ride to get to their village. So it's very difficult to get to these people. So, but it was definitely worth the experience. And I got a couple of pictures of me and some of the people on my Facebook page. So go to facebook.com. A lot of times people can't really add themselves to my main Facebook page, but I got the Tariq Elite fan page and Twitter. At Twitter, twitter.com at Tariq Nasheed, and the Facebook fan page is the Tariq Elite fan page. So you can look that up on Facebook and you can see pictures. And a lot of y'all niggas been making jokes saying that those Asian people look like my kids. Because it was a picture of me and some of the Asian kids, teenagers. And they were saying I look like some of them. You know, and they do. They just look like, hell, I know them. They look like a lot of people we know. And some of them, the guys, you know, they dress in like semi-contemporary clothes. The women, you know, they dress in the traditional garbs and wraps. But some of the brothers, they were over here rocking some of the semi-contemporary clothes. You know, they were rocking old hip-hop style clothes. I think I saw one of the brothers wearing a damn Wu-Wear tank top and some G-Unit jean shorts or some shit. But they're making it do what it do. I digress. Now, anyway, before I get deep into the Trayvon Martin situation, let me read an email from one of the listeners. Because this brother sent me an email and he needs some help with this game. And I want to help my brother with his game. The email is a little lengthy, but I want y'all to follow me on this. Now, the brother sent the email. He said, "What's up, Tariq? I need some information. I need some help with the situation I'm having with the young lady. Now, let me give you a little bit of information on myself. Now, I live down in Florida. I'm originally from New York. And I went down there to restructure my life. My career wasn't working out. And my relationship with my son's mom was going south. My mother offered me a life preserver and I took it, so I'm currently living with my parents. Now, since then, I've maintained a per diem security job. I've written a couple of ebooks hoping to get them published, or a couple of books hoping to get published, some magazine articles. I've started a blog, etc. My son spends the summer with me and I go to New York to see and spend time with him regularly. I also do right by him financially, and I will be moving back to New York in the near future to have a more active role in his life." So I commend the brother on that. Now, anyway, on to the story, he says. And by the way, I didn't find out how old this brother was. That's very important. I would like to know how old this brother is. He didn't specify his age, because that has a lot to do with it too, because the stuff that he's going through right now, certain things you shouldn't be going through at a certain age. So I really wish he had told me his age, because it's very important to know certain things at a certain age. You just shouldn't be going through certain shit. But I'm going to continue with the email. Anyway, he goes on to say, "About 2 years ago, I started dating a woman I met online. I sent her a private message on a dating site, and a few months after that, I initially contacted her and she finally got back to me. Now, she's a divorced single mom. She's cute. She's petite with a few tattoos and piercings." Oops. I know what that means. This woman has had a little stank hole pass, probably. "But anyway, she's also really sexy. She loves to wear skimpy and revealing outfits. We had a test date at first. It went okay. The next thing you know, we're dating regularly. She has a very quirky, erratic personality. She keeps busy running back and forth doing different projects. She admitted to having a short attention span. She said that she's somewhat dyslexic, but she was never diagnosed as that. It all seemed cute at first, but I admit that she seemed a bit crazy It gave me pause, yet it was a turn on at the same time. She never gave me a clear reason for the divorce, though she said that it was because her ex was unfaithful. Anyway, with each date, I got a little bolder and I tested boundaries. We went to the movies, out to eat a couple of times. Finally, she invited me to the crib. We ended up on the couch. We got intimate, but no actual sex. Still, the night went well as far as I could tell. Nothing seemed wrong. Now, let me pause the story right there for a minute. Now, again, this situation that this brother's going through, it depends on your age. Now, if you're 18 and 19 and you get down like this, you're making out on the couch and all that, I can understand that. I can rock with you. But if you're a 30-some-year-old dude making out on a goddamn couch, they hit yourself in the head with a fucking hammer. You should be hitting it. Damn that making out on the couch shit like you're a damn teenager. That sounds real funny style. Anyway, let me go on with the email. Anyway, the brother says, the next day she told me things went a bit too far. She said that in the past, she had sex with guys she dated before she really knew them, and she did not want to repeat that mistake. She also revealed to me that she was bisexual. I had some reservations, but I rolled with it. On a later date, she told me she had some reservations about me as well. It was mostly in regards to my living situation. Still, later on that night, she claimed to really like me. Now, let me pause the story again. Now, what this woman sounds like, and I know a lot of you guys have dealt with women like this. This is a wannabe born-again hoe. That's a wannabe, and I say wannabe because they want to pretend that they're born-again hoe, but they still got those hoeish ways. So they're not really born again. They try to pretend all that hoe shit was in the past. All that sluttiness and sucking random dicks and eating miscellaneous pussy. They try to make believe that all that's the thing in the past. Only thing is, they just haven't had the opportunities to get down like they used to get down. But if the opportunity presents itself, they're right back there going back to their old ways. So I can tell that just by reading this. But this brother, he's still going for the okey-doke. But let me continue to read the brother's email. A few weeks later, after a date at the local roller rink, they went to the damn skating rink, we ended up on her couch again. She fell asleep in my arms. A few hours later, she wakes up in the mood. We get into it and she asked me to go down on her. I do, and she returned the favor by giving me the best head I've ever had in my life. And it really bugged me out how good she was. She rushed me out of her crib, claiming that she had to go out to Miami early in the morning. She told me about that earlier in the day, so I figured she was telling the truth. All right, let me pause it again. What she's doing is setting him up. She's getting him set up for the trick bag. You know, you hold out for a long time. Sound like this guy's been going on dates with this girl on and on again. She's been holding out, playing hard to get, telling him about all her freaky little past, how much of a hoe she used to be, and how she wants to turn over a new leaf with him because he's a nice guy and maybe she might want to settle down with him. She fell asleep in his arms, made him go down on her first, which basically she's controlling the situation. She's establishing dominance over this dude. And once he obeyed, she gave him a good little BJ to get him hooked in. Now, she didn't fuck him, but she gave him a cool little BJ. And she did it under her terms. That was a power play on her behalf. Because, see, the oral sex, when a woman gives oral sex, that's a very submissive thing. But when a woman says, go down on me and then I'll do you, that's her wrangling power. So she's playing this dude to the max. So she's setting him up for the trick bag. Now, anyway, let me go on with the email. After that night, she seemed to get a little bit apprehensive again. though she said she didn't regret what happened. We went out a few more times, everything seemed okay. Then she started complaining about how busy she was and how it was stressing her out. Now the bullshit starts. She said she liked spending time with me, but she felt worn out. Basically, she seemed to be asking for space, and I gave it to her. Soon after that, she was doing a lot of traveling and partying with friends. And I went from going out with her frequently to becoming a date on her calendar. So basically, she sees a simp, and she wants to keep her simp around just in case she needs him to take care of a few bills or a few little simpish things. But she doesn't want to be in a relationship with the dude, and she's giving them the brush off. She's basically moved on to the next dude. Now let me continue the email. He says, we never actually fucked, and I never got any more special treats from her. I found myself wondering what I did wrong, or if I turned her off somehow. It was just like she lost interest, and she pulled away suddenly. We still maintain loose contact with each other, but honestly, it seems like she only contacts me when she wants something. Ah. Last month, she invited me to a lingerie store a friend was opening. Supposedly, it was so she could give me a few cupcakes she made as a present. When I get there, she's asking me to buy her lingerie. I didn't because I didn't have the dough. I was also kind of annoyed that she would even ask. Let me pause it right there. Again, she's putting this dude in a trick bag. She's going to call this dude out to a store to buy her something. That's trick simp behavior, and she has put him in a simp trick bag. Now, the email goes on to say, because I know this email is kind of long. I say this to say, what should I do about this female? What category would I put her in? My friends say she's a gold digger. Some of my friends say she's a shoe whore and likes for guys to buy her things. What would you say my problem is, and what should I do to go about solving it? Signed, Simp in Distress. So, Simp in Distress, what's going on with you, brother? Right now, you're going through some insecurities. You got some subconscious insecurities going on because of your own living situation. And when you have those subconscious insecurities going on, that shows through in your actions. People can see that. Whenever you're insecure about some shit, people can see it. You might try to hide it and try to floss, but that shit shines through. That's why you always have to have real security about yourself. You have to really get some real ism deep down in you. That's why I did a lecture called The Game Must Be In You, Not On You. Because people can see what's going on in you. So you got to tackle those insecurities about your living situation. Because that's the root of what's going on with you. You're living with your moms, and I'm assuming that you're an older dude. Because this chick, if she's been divorced, she must be somewhat of an older chick. And you got a son, so I'm thinking that you might be an older dude as well. And the thing is, that simp mentality is always going to make you feel less than, and you're going to make it seem like females are doing you a favor by being down with you. Now, as far as categorizing this female, my thing is this, man, because it's very easy to label these women. Oh, she's a gold digger. She's a slut. Oh, she's a skank. It's easy to do that. And some of these women are. I mean, it is what it is. But in many cases, even if the woman is a decent, good, goody two shoes type of chick, simping behavior in a dude will bring out the worst in a lot of females. You understand what I'm saying? Females are very reactionary. And when they see a dude who's a simp, you know, that brings out some of the evil characteristics. They're like, you know, I'm not no scandalous bitch, but I see this trick nigga trying to cupcake with me, and let me try to get something up out of it. You know, people, you know, even if they see somebody who's weak, they prey on the weak. So that's why you always step to the situation with strength. You always have your head up. You step to the situation with your head up, your shoulders back, your game face on, and your game strong. because this female is just like the average female. This is just an average female. Women treat certain dudes certain ways. A dude who has confidence about themselves, women will step to that dude with respect. Men who have no confidence about themselves, simping, eating pussy on couches and all that old shit, women are going to put you in a trick bag and treat you like a secondary dude. So that's the part of the game you need to understand. All my players out there. You feel me? So I hope y'all took some good information and some game from that. Anyway, let me talk about this whole Trayvon Martin situation, because usually I talk about a lot of social stuff first and then I get into the ism last, but I did it in reverse this time because I wanted to close out the show talking about the Trayvon Martin situation, because that's something that's been going on heavily in the media for the last a week or so. It's been going on heavily in the media. For those who don't know the situation about Trayvon Martin, it's been all in the media. There was a 17-year-old boy down in Sanford, Florida. He was walking home. He was staying in a complex that his dad and his dad's fiance were staying in, this basically majority white gated community down in Sanford, Florida. The young man was walking home from the store. A white neighborhood watchman volunteer followed him, got into a scuffle with him, and ended up killing the young man. The person who killed him was a white guy named George Zimmerman. Now, George Zimmerman has not been arrested or prosecuted, has not been arrested at all. So this is what the brouhaha is all about. People are trying to get justice for this brother, Trayvon Martin, and I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. I'm glad that the situation has finally gotten some steam. They're talking about it on national news outlets. And again, I haven't seen too much coverage this week. I've been getting a lot of information online, and I've been having real sketchy access to the internet for the past week. But I'm glad the information is getting out there. And I'm glad that it's getting national attention. And this coming Thursday, I know Al Sharpton, the Reverend Al Sharpton, is going to have a rally for Trayvon Martin down there in Sanford, Florida. And I would advise everybody to go down there. If I were in the States, I would definitely go down there. I just found out about the rally today on Twitter, actually. And a lot of people will talk shit about Sharpton, but you know what? I pop my collar to Sharpton. Sharpton will get out there on the front lines and put in some work. So whatever you say about Sharpton, Sharpton will get off his ass and get out there in them streets. So that's better than a lot of these armchair militant revolutionaries who ain't gonna do shit but type on the computer. So I give Al Sharpton his props. He will get out there in them streets and make some noise, and that's what we need. And we need to get out there and make some noise down there in Florida. Because the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, in 1955, 14-year-old kid Emmett Till was killed by white men. They said he whistled at a white woman. They killed this boy, and the killers were not prosecuted. As a matter of fact, the killers of Emmett Till, they admitted to what they did. They were not prosecuted. And really, the Emmett Till situation kicked off the civil rights movement, because people said enough is enough. People said enough is enough. But the thing is, we hustling backwards, black folks. Let me talk directly to black folks out there. We're hustling backwards. It's 2012, and this is the new Emmett Till situation. We have allowed an atmosphere with us. And I say we've allowed it because the thing is, black folks are not as organized as they should be to even allow a motherfucker to think that they can do some shit like they did back in 1955, right here in 2012. In 2012, white dude kills a black kid and does not even get arrested. In 2012, that's some hustling backwards shit. And the thing is, we black folks in America are so disorganized, people feel like they can get down like that. So we have to look at ourselves. I mean, I'm not letting the Zimmerman off the hook at all. I'm not letting that police department, the Sanford Police Department, off the hook, because they covered up for the Zimmerman guy. And I want people to really look into the story. And there's 911 tapes. They finally released the 911 tapes, and they're horrible. The kid is crying for his life. It's horrible. And I just heard about some other 911 tapes that came out today, and they're saying that this Zimmerman dude is talking about a fucking coon. He's just saying a little racial stuff. So a lot of stuff is coming out. The thing is, this Zimmerman guy has not been arrested. Why black folks has not went up in that motherfucker's house and got him is beyond me. Sometimes we got to be on some vigilante shit. I know that's a very radical thing to say. But the thing is, there's such a fear that black folks have. I just saw a story in Chicago. There's like 40 people wounded. Niggas are shooting each other left and right in Chicago, Philly, all these other places. They're blowing each other's brains out. And this Zimmerman dude is walking around free as a goddamn bird. Sometimes you gotta run up in a motherfucker's crib and get him. Black folks gotta get their own task force or something like that. And the task force needs to be used on these dusty niggas killing each other and these vigilante Zimmerman type white supremacists out here too. There's some brothers in Detroit called, I think they call Detroit 300, something like that. And they're taken to the streets trying to stop these crimes. I applaud that. We need more of that. There's another organization out of Chicago. They're a little less radical. I think they're called the Interrupters or something like that. There was a documentary about them, and they do real good work out there in Chicago. They hit the streets and they talk to these street cats and talk them out of doing certain violent crimes and violent retaliations. I think they're called the Interrupters. I think that's what the name of it is. I'm drawing a blank here, but I think that's the name of them. And I applaud them. They do real good work out there in Chicago. But the thing is, man, there's a fear that so many black folks have of whites. Black folks would do some of the most horrific things to each other, but wouldn't think about doing it to a white person who would do something so horrific to a black child. See, us black folks out here bullshitting, that creates an environment for some shit like this Zimmerman asshole. That creates an environment where people like this think it's cool to do whatever. So this is really a wake-up call. And I hate that something like this would have to be a wake-up call for black folks in America to really stop bullshitting. And the thing is, black folks, and then I'm just keeping it real 100. We bullshit out here, black folks. Too many black folks are bullshitting, and black people bullshit in order to not face reality, because they think that facing reality, which is white supremacy, facing the reality of white supremacy is a very difficult thing, but you have to understand white supremacy and you have to know how to counter it. Because the thing is, while we out here bullshitting, partying, drinking, getting high, fighting each other, getting on World Star Hip Hop every day, beating the shit out of each other, that's bullshit. Gossiping, that's bullshit. Some of these white supremacists out here, these secret right white supremacists, they're not bullshitting. They're not playing. Some of these people are mad. They're mad because there's a black president, and they're mad because they think that their numbers are dwindling. There's some, and I'm not talking about all whites, but there's some radical vigilante white supremacist out here that's on some straight up bullshit. I mean, and they're dead serious about what they're trying to do. And when they kill kids, this shows you the mentality that they have. The way this young boy, Trayvon Martin, was killed was fucked to the hell up. It was fucked to the hell up, the way he shot that dude. That was real raggedy. It was real sick. The fact that this dude is walking around is even sicker. And also, where is George Zimmerman? When there's a crime committed, you know, you're supposed to arrest the person within 48 hours. That's why they have to show the first 48, because if you don't get the person in 48 hours, it becomes more difficult because they have a head start. They can leave the state or even leave the country within 48 hours. You can go around the world in 48 hours. So you want to get somebody before they bounce. This Zimmerman dude has been out for a goddamn month. Where is he now? Nobody knows where this Zimmerman dude is. I've been hearing about these interviews with this person and that person, but nobody seems to know where this Zimmerman guy is. This dude could be out the country. No telling where he is. If they do decide to prosecute him. Now, I heard yesterday the feds are getting involved. Hopefully, they will get something popping and find this guy. And also, there was another organization I heard about. There was a news report about this so-called black militant organization that was talking about doing a citizen's arrest. Now, I could kind of co-sign that, and I did co-sign it at first, because that's a good idea. I'm like, I can rock with that. If you want to go up in this dude's spot and go get him, you want to get some brothers and just go get this son of a bitch and just do a citizen's arrest until the feds decide what they want to do, I'm down with that. But the thing is, I did a little research about this organization, and they seemed a little, I don't know too much. It seemed a little janky. These dudes sound like they might be low-key attention-whoring from the research I've done about them. I don't know too much about these dudes, and I don't even want to put their name out there like that. But these dudes, I hope, it sounds like they might be low-key attention-whoring. I don't want them to get out there and go to Florida just to get in front of the news cameras to get some shine. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, man, they're really protecting this Zimmerman dude. And if he goes to jail, it's a wrap. Yeah, they're going to have to put him in PC, protective custody. If this guy goes to jail, it is a wrap. But yeah, it's going to be a wrap for that dude. But the thing is, black folks got to start organizing, man. And just because other people are organizing against you. And where are all these gangsters and all these thugs? All these old gangster-ass niggas and all these old thug-ass niggas that will terrorize the black community. Where are you now? How come you ain't terrorizing this Zimmerman asshole? Where are you now? And the thing is, man, we have a lot of, you know, people talk, they say, well, if I was living back in the 50s and back when they were lynching people, I would have whooped everybody's ass. And you hear people talk that shit. I couldn't have been a slave. I would have been whooping all types of ass. I couldn't have been back in the 1960s. I would have been beating the shit. You wouldn't have done shit just like you ain't doing shit now. The thing is, man, a lot of black folks ain't doing shit because a lot of black people are very comfortable right now. A lot of black people are very comfortable right now. A lot of black people are very dependent upon whites. And blacks don't want to offend whites. So blacks don't want to really do too much. They don't want to do too anything too radical. They don't want to jeopardize their job or some shit like that. Real deep shit. And speaking of jeopardizing jobs and not offending whites, a lot of these white folks out here are very quiet about this Trayvon Martin thing, by the way. I've seen a couple of white folks say some things. I've seen a couple of white celebrities speak out. But for the most part, a lot of whites, just like I said a few weeks ago, when it comes to joining forces against another white person, people get real quiet. You don't hear too many people, white folks, talking bad about this George Zimmerman guy. A lot of whites are being very, very quiet about it. And I've even heard some people say, well, Zimmerman, he looks Hispanic. The thing is, this dude, a lot of Hispanics are categorized as white. So let's not even get into the whole semantics of that, by the way. That's a whole different show. Let's not get into that. This dude, he's categorized as white. He's classified as white. Just look at his arrest record and see what he classifies himself as. Let's not get into that game. But the thing is, man, a lot of our white brothers and sisters are very quiet about it. All these Coney 2012 people who were rocking the Coney Get Coney t-shirts a couple of weeks ago, they're surprisingly quiet right now. They're very, very quiet right now. It's in that whole Coney fiasco when it was an African evil warlord Everybody was on the bandwagon. They were tweeting their asses off. Now that everybody found out that whole Coney thing is a complete fraud, and even the guy who directed the Coney video, I forgot his name, Joseph something. Did y'all hear about this asshole? They found him in the streets of San Diego butt naked, running around in the damn streets in broad daylight. That shit was funny as hell. I wasn't surprised. I've been trying to tell y'all about that fake Coney bullshit. I knew they were on some garbage. I knew those Coney people were funny style. The leader of that whole Coney 2012 Invisible Children organization, this dude, and they got video of it, he was running around San Diego in broad daylight, butt naked. This nigga was on the corner doing the river dance, jacking his dick off, acting a damn fool. He must have had some kind of bad meth trip. And what's funny, he didn't even get arrested. They detained him. That was funny to me. They did not arrest this fool. And we need to look into that too, because this dude, the Coney guy, is dealing with these so-called African children, and he has that type of character. What was he doing with them African kids? We have to look at all that, because now we see that he's a goddamn pervert. Let's get into his background and see what's really going on with him. And they need to classify him as a child, a sex offender, for running around butt naked in broad daylight, because I'm pretty sure that he was about, what, 20 yards or 30 yards away from a school. You know, that's how they get a lot of brothers. They say if you sell drugs 30 yards or a certain amount of space from a school, that's a certain felony that you can get. That's that whole trick bag they put the brothers in. How far away from a school was this asshole in when he was running around butt naked jacking his dick off in San Diego? Let's look into all that. But my point is, man, a lot of people, man, a lot of our white brothers and sisters, and I said this last week or 2 weeks ago, when it comes to demonizing a white face, whites don't join in with black folks. Black folks were jumping up and down with that whole Coney 2012 thing a couple of weeks ago. And then when everybody started calling that out, cats started to feel molded. And I'm not surprised that a lot of whites are just not down with the whole Trayvon Martin thing. A lot of people are very quiet about it. There's some like Anderson Cooper, people like that. They've spoken out about it. But where are all these child endangerment organizations? You understand? Because this goes beyond just race. I mean, this is a corruption situation. Police corruption. Forget about race for a minute. Just look at it from a corruption point of view. This is police corruption all day. You're withholding the 911 tapes. You didn't arrest this dude when he clearly shot somebody in cold blood. That's a corruption case. It's a child advocacy case. Where are the child advocacy groups? You understand what I'm saying? If this was a white kid who got killed by anybody, all types of child, and if a white kid got killed and nobody got arrested, all those mom against drunk driving, I mean, all those child groups would step up to the plate and demand justice. You don't hear shit from none of them. You understand what I'm saying? We got to look into this stuff, black folks. Y'all got to really take a log of this stuff and put this in your back pocket and see who's down and see who's not down. We are CMB. We all we got when it comes down to it. Let's just keep it 110. And the thing is, black folks, you're going to really have to teach your children the realities of white supremacy racism. You're going to have to teach them the truth about it. Because the thing is, we don't teach our children what we need to teach them about racism, white supremacy. See, white kids, they learn the whole race game at a very young age. If you talk to a 5-year-old white kid, these, not all, but a lot of them, they know all the little racial epithets at a very young age. Trust me, I went to school with little white kids. They knew, I learned all the racial epithets from them. They knew at a young age, nigga, spit, coon, wetback, they know all that shit. They're taught that when they learn how to walk. But the thing is, we teach black kids kumbaya. Everything's going to be all right. We're all going to get along. Everything's going to be fine. And that's a very honorable thing to say and to teach your kids. But you're going to have to teach your kids the reality of racism, white supremacy, when you send them out here in the world and they start dealing with this nonsense. And then they're going to be looking at you like, damn, how come you didn't warn me about this? Because this shit is real. Especially if you have a young black boy. Well, young black girls, they're going to learn it too. But when you have a young black boy, you really got to let them know what's going on. You really got to not give them fear, but give them awareness about racism, white supremacy. They need to be aware of it. They need to understand that if you're a black person, and really if you're the only black person in all white anything, that you're going to be the focal point. Whether you like it or not. In America, if you're a black person, especially a young black person, in an all-white environment, be it positive or negatively, you're going to be the focal point. That's a reality. Another reality, for example, if you have three or more young black men or young black boys or adolescent boys in a majority white situation, to be honest, white folks will call the police. That's automatic suspicion. ABC News did something about that. Y'all can look that up on YouTube, and I've just seen it from experience. If you're like a black kid and there's three or more black kids or black youths in an all-white environment, you go to an all-white mall, an all-white neighborhood or whatever, somebody's gonna call the police on your ass. That's the reality. You need to understand that part of the game and know how to deal with that. That's why I did Hidden Colors, man. Hidden Colors is a great place to start. Sit down with your family to watch Hidden Colors so you can really get the foundation of what the whole game is about. And really talk to your kids. I know you want your kids to rise above that, but they need to be aware of racism, white supremacy. Because the thing is, black parents, a lot of times, they tell their children a bunch of bullshit when it comes to race. A lot of black children are really taught race denial. That's why we got a whole bunch of kids running around talking about they're mixed and I'm Dominican and I'm Cape Verdean. All that shit don't mean nothing when you got these vigilante, crazy-ass white supremacists running around doing dirt or down to do whatever. That means nothing when it comes down to it. So we got to be very honest with ourselves about the whole race thing. And I'm not saying we shouldn't get along. I get along with everybody. I got white friends, Mexican friends. I got friends all across the board. But the thing is, we have to be aware. We're going to have to really, really get a real dialogue about race going on. Because this whole race thing is a hustle. Black folks don't understand it, and a lot of black folks don't want to deal with it, and shit like this with this Zimmerman thing, it should not be happening in 2012, and black people should not be allowing it to happen, and we're allowing it to happen by bullshitting too much, playing around, not getting serious when it comes to this racism, white supremacy, and we need to stop bickering with one another, stop gossiping, stop with the petty grievances that we've been having, and get this shit together and organize so when something like this can pop off, we don't have to sit up and beg for justice. We can take justice and get shit popping like we need to get popping. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Mac Lessons Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Don't forget, I'm going to do a live Ustream show Wednesday night, probably around 7. Go to the Tariq Elite fan page on Facebook. Add me on Twitter. All you guys should have me on Twitter at TariqNasheed. Shit, I forgot how to spell my damn name for a second. Anyway, y'all have a good night, man. Good day. Holla.